finally be with you. I think this was our third try trying to get me to get here. So we're glad it worked out, and we trust that this was the Lord's time all along. So we're here. I find that this is an experience I'm sure all of us have had. You know, you're pretty familiar with your home, and yet there's times that, you know, you're walking through the house and you just don't happen to have shoes on, and man, you stub your toe. And yet you know the house, right? You know the layout, and then you stub your toe, and now all of a sudden you're very aware of whatever it was, and you're very aware of your toe as well. And I found that that happens to me when it comes to the scriptures. Amen. I find that I'm in a passage and it's like I stub my toe, and all of a sudden I take notice of something that I may not have taken notice of before. And I find myself there. And that's kind of what has happened in this, where we're going to be this morning. And we're going to be in John's Gospel, chapter 18, and then part of 19. And it's going to be something peculiar. And I want to, what got me, where my, if you will, my toe got stubbed, was in 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is how this all started. Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him, to challenge him to maintain his testimony, his calling. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says this in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God. So obviously what's coming is pretty important. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. That's peculiar. Of all the things that Paul could have brought up concerning the life of Jesus to encourage Timothy, to challenge him to a certain kind of life, he brings up this episode. He brings up the episode of Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Now, think of it. That episode, Jesus before Pilate, has made its way. That story, what happens there, had made its way even to Paul. And had made an impression upon Paul that he keeps that story alive, if you will, or he keeps that testimony of Jesus alive to impart it to Timothy as well. So there's something there for us, isn't there? What is it? What is it about that confession? What is it about that episode in the life of Jesus that is important for us? Now, let's look at a couple verses and then we'll get to John. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, In chapter 3, same book, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Later on in Revelation 19, John will describe him as the one who on his thigh is written faithful and true. So here's this description of Jesus being the faithful and true witness. And I think that will get us to John's Gospel. And John in Revelation identifies himself. He says, I'm on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus told his disciples, he says, listen, there's going to be a time when you're going to be brought before the synagogues, you're going to be brought before rulers. That's a pressure situation, isn't it? You're being brought before the leading and the best minds of the nation. And here are these fishermen and different men with no religious education, and they're standing before the leaders. He says, but not to worry. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say in that hour. And he also told them, right, in Acts chapter 1, leading up to the pastor's Holy Spirit teaching here. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, listen, you stay in Jerusalem. You said you stay there until you're endued with power from on high. For what purpose? Because you're going to be my witnesses. Right? And the necessity, the utter necessity of the Holy Spirit for us to become that. To be what Jesus is called, faithful and true witnesses. So this occasion of Jesus before Pilate, to me, I think, shows that here he is standing before Pilate, and he indeed is speaking the wisdom, and what he declares, I believe, is through that influence of life that is in him. And what we're going to see is that Jesus, he's already borne testimony before Caiaphas, and now he's standing before Pilate in John 18. John's version of this is a little bit different. He leaves a couple things out, but he also adds some things, and I think that's why I've chosen John here. And so just like Jesus is going to be the call to his disciples, he first bears witness to Caiaphas, if you will, to the Jews, and then he bears witness to Pilate or to the Gentiles. And that was what he had called his disciples to do, to bear witness first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, right? And there he is doing the exact same thing. So what is the position of Jesus? What is the position of Jesus towards the world, if you will, Pilate representing the world, Pilate representing earthly government? What is Jesus' position before that? What does he have to say to them? And I think the position and the words of Jesus will help us to remember what our position should be. What it is that we should be declaring, what it is that we should be standing for, as it were, in our testimony before the world, and especially now before the political world, if you will. And so hopefully that's what we'll see here. Because Jesus is going to bear testimony concerning himself. He's going to bear testimony concerning his Father. He's going to bear testimony concerning his kingdom. He's going to bear testimony concerning those that are a part of his kingdom. And then he's going to bear testimony to sin and the judgment of sin. So he covers all of the bases here. So what happens before Pilate, it's no wonder that Paul says, he brings that up. So let's go here. John chapter 18. Also, just to remember in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, there was the piece of furniture called the Ark of the Covenant, right? This golden piece that had the angels, the cherubim, and that's where God's glory was, right? And they went in once a year and put blood upon it. Well, it's also known in the Old Testament, the name that it's also given is the Ark of the Testimony. The Ark of the Testimony. Well, of course it is. Of course that's its name, because it represents the one who is going to be the true and faithful witness. That one that Ark of the Testimony, as it traveled through the world, was bearing witness. It was bearing testimony to the truth of God's glory, to the truth of his person. Well, that's now our call.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do.
Right.
John 18. All of the Gospels agree that this is the first question that Pilate asks Jesus. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answering him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? He answers with a question, which was not unusual for rabbis and teachers to do that, right? The Gospels are full of that. And he asks Pilate this question, which is a good opening question to ask. Now, Pilate represents government, doesn't he? He is the authority there. And Jesus, by asking this question to Pilate, he's asking him, did you come to this conclusion on your own? Or are you just saying what you've heard? Jesus wants to know if what Pilate is asking, is that a real understanding? Do you really think that, Pilate? Or did someone just tell you to say that? Are you just parroting what the religious leaders want you to say? Is it real? And this has really been one of the failures of the church when our political leaders, those that are running for office, make claims. Very rarely does the church ask them, is that a real confession? Or are you just bringing up the name of Jesus because you know that's what we would like to hear? Is it real? Or are you just using it because you know those men outside want you to say that. They want you. Oh, who's your pastor? What church do you go to?
Uh-oh.
How long have you been part of that church? Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's good. Were you water baptized? Do you tithe regularly? Right? We blow over all of that, right? We never inquire. We just take them at their word. But Jesus won't allow that. Jesus won't allow Pilate to merely make this statement about this question about Jesus being the King of the Jews. He won't let him off the hook. And what's interesting here is the response of Pilate. Pilate's response is to Jesus, reveal a lot about him also.
Yeah.
Because Pilate simply responds by saying, "Am I a Jew?" In other words, who you are doesn't really matter. It doesn't impact my life. Hmm. So Pilate asks another. The conversation continues after giving that response. He says, "Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done?" The word that Pilate uses there for delivered is the same word that was used describing Judas, that he betrayed him. And so he asked this question, and now Jesus in a way returns to the first question. And he replies, Jesus replied in verse 36, "My kingdom." Acknowledging that he is a king. But interestingly enough, he doesn't acknowledge that he's the king of the Jews. That question. No, he is going to begin to describe a kingdom that is much larger than the limitation of what you originally asked. Mm. That identity.
Yeah.
So he does acknowledge, he does admit that he is a king and that he has a kingdom. But immediately now he's going to describe what this kingdom is like. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Describing the character of the kingdom. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants," my kingdom, "my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. Now is my kingdom not from hence." He says a mouthful here. The one thing that he begins to describe here is, "My kingdom is not of this world. And my servants, people that are a part of my kingdom," the implication here is they do not fight. That's what he's implying. "My servants do not fight when it comes to my kingdom." And immediately by that, he is showing the contrast between the kingdoms of this earth that advance, that are maintained by fighting. If any kingdom knew about that, it was Rome.
Yeah.
The greatest kingdom at that time, right? And Rome understood. Bigger army, better weapons, you take over. In other words, by the arm of flesh, by the strength of man, by man's ability, is how kingdoms of this world are maintained, how they're kept, how they are advanced. But my kingdom is not like that.
Yeah.
My kingdom is not like that, and my servants do not fight. In other words, my kingdom advances, my kingdom is maintained entirely different from the earthly way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So much so that lesson, he was trying to teach them that lesson. Well, for 3.5 years, he had been trying to teach them what his kingdom was really like, right? But they were still geared for an earthly kingdom, weren't they? His own disciples. They were geared for an earthly kingdom, an earthly reign, earthly thrones. They didn't get it. So much so that on the night of the arrest, just a little bit before this, right? The air is charged. These soldiers come. And what does Peter do? He's going to fight.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Oh, no. This ain't happening. You can be sure this ain't happening because we have a kingdom to maintain. We have a kingdom to keep. You guys are not taking this kingdom from us. And then Jesus rebukes him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Put that away. Please put that away before you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, Peter, listen. If that's how you're going to live, then that's how you're going to die. Mm. And then Jesus, to hopefully get his point across, he puts the guy's ear back on. Just to help them understand what this kingdom is really about.
Yeah.
It's a kingdom that brings life.
Yeah.
It's a kingdom that brings healing.
Yeah.
Kingdom of mercy. But we have a tendency to forget that.
Right.
Especially when we get charged up emotionally. Mm. I'm not taking this. Yeah, this is it. We're not taking this anymore. We don't have to put up with this. Who do they think they are telling us what we can do and what we can't do? But forget it. We're not doing that. Then we begin to think, I'll show them, right? Mm. Right? We start to begin to think along earthly kingdom principles.
Mm. Yeah.
My kingdom is not of this world. It didn't originate here. There's nothing in this world that is like it. Imagine Pilate. Pilate knows about kingdoms. Pilate knows about reigning. He knows about government. He knows what it takes. And he's listening to this guy. Your servants don't fight? You're a king? You have a kingdom? Hmm. Put up your swords. Paul put it this way, right? The weapons of our warfare are not not earthly. They don't work. We don't use what the world uses to advance and to move forward.
Right.
Yeah.
So Pilate says, okay, verse 37, okay, Am I hearing this right? So you're a king then? And Jesus affirms it. Thou sayest. It's an affirmation that what you said is true. Yes. I am a king. And then he says this. Thou sayest that I am a king. He's affirming Pilate's statement, that question. That's true. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He brings in the truth of his first, of his incarnation. For this, to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world. Jesus, his kingdom is not of this world, because he is not of this world. He came into the world. He came into the world. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The Word was made flesh.
Yeah.
The eternal Word came. And that's why he can say, my kingdom is not of this world, because he isn't. He came into the world. The very thing he told his disciples hours before. The very thing he prayed. Father, these are in the world, but they are not of the world.
Right.
That's his testimony. That's our testimony, right?
Right.
Where is our true identity? If we are born from where?
Above.
Above. Right? We have been born from above. Our true life, our true identity is not of this world.
Yeah.
Our real life, who we really are,
yeah,
is from above. And that is so vital to remembering that identity.
Yes.
Yes, we are definitely in this world. Yes, Pilate, I do have a kingdom, and my kingdom is in this world. But it is not of this world. Yes, my kingdom, Pilate, it will advance. My kingdom is going to increase.
Yes.
Of the increase of his government, Amen. There shall be no end.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah.
But how that happens is not going to happen by carnal, earthly means. Never, ever, ever. And when we begin to implement, when we begin to put to use the same methods that man builds his kingdom by, then we must truly question ourselves, what kingdom are we advancing?
Right.
Because his kingdom never truly advances by earthly means. Never. Impossible. I came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Jesus bore witness, as we said, while he was here, he bore witness to the truth of his Father, right? That glory, that he revealed the glory of the Father, that he revealed, he bore witness to the truth of his Father. He bore witness to the truth of his kingdom. He bore witness to the truth of the people in the kingdom. He bore witness to the truth of the condition of the world.
Yeah.
So that this kingdom that he talks about, this kingdom that he is over, it is a kingdom that is founded upon truth. Truth. John 3:21. John's Gospel has a lot to say about that topic. That it's John's Gospel that reveals to us that great declaration from Jesus himself. I am the truth. In John 3, But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself, the doctrine being the truth, if you will. Chapter 8:47. He that is of God, this is the key one to what we're going to next. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then we won't go there, but John 10:16 as well. I have come, the purpose of my coming was to bear witness to the truth, Jesus says. And then he gives another description of the people that are a part of this kingdom. The first description, that they're servants. Mm-hmm. That's how he describes it. They are servants. Servants that don't fight. And then now he gives another description of these people that make up his kingdom. Everyone that is of the truth, this kingdom of truth, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. A true relationship, a communication, a fellowship between the king and those that are in the kingdom, it's based upon hearing truth. So that our identity, the church's identity, is founded upon truth.
Yeah.
That is the foundation of this kingdom. And the sad thing is that this is nothing new, but every point in church history, the challenge to the church is this, and some have been up to the challenge and others haven't. And the problem in our day is that the church has wanted to become and has been so afraid of maintaining this standard because we want to be inclusive. We want to be relevant. And being relevant and being inclusive has been more important to the church in our day than holding to truth.
It's true.
Because we don't want to appear rigid and bigoted. We don't want to look that way. So we slowly lower the standard of truth, don't we? Because of how we might appear, how we might appear to an unbelieving world. Forgetting that the only thing that matters is how do we appear before Him.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
He that, everyone that is of the truth, heareth my voice. John kind of changes that in his little epistle. And he changes truth, the word truth, and he calls it light. If we walk in the light,
yeah,
right, that's what truth is, right? Truth is the light. John says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have what? Fellowship.
Yeah.
Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice, maintains fellowship with me, is in real fellowship with me, walks with me. Shepherd said what? He said, I know them and they know me.
Yeah.
Because it's my voice, right?
Yes.
That they have.
Yeah.
It's my voice. The voice of the shepherd of truth.
Amen.
So Jesus is describing here and giving us foundational principles of how do we travel through this world. What is our position to be when it comes to earthly government, when it comes to the kingdoms of this world, when it comes to our relationship to the world? What is the standard? What is it that we're to remember about ourselves? How do we be true and faithful witnesses? Remember, Paul says, remember Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I guess that phrase keeps ringing in me, and I don't know if it's because of what's been going on in this political scene in recent months, but... You know, we all talk about, you know, as we should, rightfully so, I want to be like Jesus and the example of Jesus. But this is an example.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is an example of Jesus that we need to take a fresh look at. That if we truly want to be like Him, then this is an aspect of Him. This is a part of who He was. This is a part of how He lived. This is a part of, if you will, this was the world view. We hear that phrase, right? What's your view?
Yeah.
This was the world view of Jesus. Very simple. You want to know, to have a correct world view? Go here. And you'll see it. So Jesus says that to Pilate, verse 37. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate answers, what is truth? Again, he gives himself away. He gives himself away. He is not of the truth. Because he couldn't hear that voice that was talking to him. What is truth? And we've all been in situations like that. Here Jesus is the truth. Here Jesus has been talking about his person, he's been talking about his kingdom, he's been talking about the servants of his kingdom, and it's just in one ear and out the other. And we've all been there, right? We've done our best to share the gospel with somebody. We've done our best to take them through the scripture and point by point by point, and we've tried to, every argument, every question, we've got an answer that comes back, and yet sometimes we, like Pilate, what does it matter anyways? You know, you might believe that, but I don't see that. Right? They may not say what is truth, but that's what they're saying. That's good for you. I'm glad. I'm happy for you, Clay. I'm really happy. You probably need that. And so Pilate reveals, right? He reveals his blindness here. He reveals his inability to hear, to receive, to understand this message. Jesus has Pilate exasperated here. He goes out. If he smoked, he probably went out for a cigarette at this point. I gotta have a break. I'll be back. But during this whole thing, Pilate has been going in and out. He has to go out to the Jews, let them know what's happening. He has to come back in and talk to Jesus, all because they won't come in, right? Because it's the Passover. So he goes out, and John leaves this out, but probably during this time here is, I think it's Matthew's version, where Matthew says that Pilate's wife comes and says, "Hey, listen, I don't know what's going on in there. I don't know who's standing before you, but I couldn't sleep. And that person in there is just. And so be careful. Be careful." Right? So he gets that message probably at this point. Then he goes out. And let's get down into chapter 19 here. We'll close here. So he gets his wife's message, that's in Matthew 27:19. And the conversation goes on between Pilate and the crowd. And Pilate is saying, "Look, I don't see anything wrong with this guy. He speaks a little odd, you know, he's got some odd ideas, you know. Kingdoms, no warfare. He ain't from around here." You know, but. So then they say this, chapter 19, the end of verse 6, "I find no fault. The Jews answered him, 'We have a law. And by our law, he ought to die. Because he made himself the Son of God.'" Now this is a new charge. Before it's just he's the King of the Jews. We don't like that. But now he says he made himself the Son of God. "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid." His wife had just said, "I've had this dream. I couldn't sleep. I can't get away from this thought. This guy, there's something special about that man. I don't know what's going on, but there's something special about him. He's just." And now the Jews say, "He's made himself to be the Son of God." Now, remember, he's not a Jew. He's made that clear. He's from the Roman Greco world, which was full of gods. Yeah. Right? His culture, the way he was brought up, There was gods everywhere, right? Paul in the book of Acts, he's taking a stroll one day and he's just like, "Wow. Yeah. Look at all these gods. He even got one here that we don't even know his name. But, you know, but we'll make him one too." Yeah. So the Roman Greco world was full of gods of every kind. And now Pilate hears the Jews saying that he's claiming to be the Son of God. It's no wonder he's troubled, because he's thinking with a Roman mind. My wife just said he's just, and now you're saying that he's the Son of God, and Pilate is thinking, oh great, what if he is? What if he is a god? It's no wonder he's upset now. Now he's really nervous, because he really doesn't know who this man is. Verse 9, he goes back in. Now he's really a mess. He went again, verse 9, into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Whence art thou? Well, Jesus had already told him. Whence art thou, he says. They're saying you're a son of God. Where are you from? Who are you? Jesus doesn't answer him this question. And I think that's an important lesson that we fail at too often. Jesus is the true and faithful witness, and sometimes part of your witness is no answer.
That's good.
No reply.
Yeah.
And Jesus doesn't reply because he knows that this question, one, Jesus had already answered it, but he knows now that this question is coming more out of fear. That it's not a real question, but that Pilate is agitated inside, and that's where this question is from. And so it doesn't need an answer, and even if Jesus gave an answer or tried to explain, let's go over this again, Pilate. I know you might have missed it the first time, but let's go over it one more time. That he's so agitated, right? Some people are so agitated, it doesn't matter what you say, they're not going to hear it, so it's best that you don't say anything. Then said Pilate unto him, verse 10, now he is agitated. Speakest thou not unto me? Now he's taking this personal. Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Do you know who I am? Right? Jesus answered to this. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. He brings his sovereign Father into view.
Yeah.
And he brings in another kingdom.
Yeah.
A kingdom that is from above. Mm-hmm. A kingdom that has ultimate say over everything.
Yeah.
My Father is in charge of all that goes on in heaven and in the earth, Pilate. He brings in the greatness of this kingdom. And he brings in this, that's the answer. Because here is this statement that Pilate makes to Jesus. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know the power that I have? I, Jesus, can put you to death or I can free you. And Jesus here, and this is something that we have failed too often in the church, is that we have believed We have believed that the government can help or hinder the church. You need me. You need me. I'll be the friend of the church. You put me in office, and you know what I can do to help you? Do you know the influence that I can bear? And Jesus has already gone over this. Because Jesus understands is that there is nothing that an earthly government can do to help advance the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Nothing.
Mm.
Nothing they can do to help, and there is nothing they can do to hinder.
Right.
Because my kingdom is from above.
That's right.
My kingdom operates by a sovereign God who rules over every kingdom of the earth. And this kingdom does not need the help of any earthly government.
Mm.
This kingdom will never be snuffed out, if you will, yeah, even by an earthly government that is against it.
Mm.
We are 2,000 plus years up the road, and the one kingdom that remains,
yeah,
is the kingdom of God.
That's true. Yeah.
Earthly governments have come and gone. Presidents and kings and rulers and dictators have all come and gone. But the church and the kingdom of God is still here.
Yeah.
And we must be convinced of that.
Yeah, that's true.
We must be convinced that when the world offers their help, when the world tries to tell you, the church, that they have the power, they have the influence, they can help or hinder. Oh, no, you can't.
Mm.
You can't. Because you can only deal with earthly issues.
Mm. Yeah.
You can never deal with what the kingdom deals with, the heart of man.
That's true. Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's why, right? One of the fastest growing churches in the world is where?
China.
Communist country.
Yeah.
Where they're not getting any help from the government.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where the government clearly tells them, we can kill you if you keep doing this.
Right.
Hasn't stopped it, has it?
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Of course not.
That's good.
Of course not. Because they understand. They're from above.
Yeah.
They are a people from above. They are a people who have sources, right? The empowerment from above is their portion. They have received a power from above. The kingdom, the authority from above is now working within them. And then Jesus ends this conversation, he ends this witness by saying this: therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. He reveals that he not only is a king, but he is also judge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he has just passed judgment upon the guys that are outside. And he's passed judgment upon Pilate, the one who thinks he's the judge.
Mm.
Pilate thinks he's the judge. The guys on the outside are also think they're the judge. They've made a judgment. And Jesus is declaring the real judge is right here. The one who sits upon the throne. He is not only the sovereign king, but he is the ultimate judge.
Yes, he is.
And the final word that he leaves with Pilate, interestingly, is sin.
Mm.
He reveals the real issue at hand here. What's behind all of this tonight, Pilate?
Mm.
Is sin.
Mm.
And a judgment upon sin. Unless you are part of my kingdom. And so here's the challenge for us. The challenge for us is perhaps we do need in the church a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Perhaps we do need that.
Yeah.
Perhaps we need it not for the reason we think we need it.
Mm.
Perhaps we need it so that we will truly be his faithful witnesses.
Yes. Yeah.
Perhaps we need it so that we will be able to see what kind of relationship and what kind of message that we are to have for the world. Perhaps we need it to be reminded of who we are. We are people from above.
Right.
Perhaps we need it to remind us of the power and authority that is working within us. So that as Jesus taught us to pray, may your kingdom come on earth. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here, this earth. May your kingdom overtake this land.
Yes.
May your will overtake this land.
Yes.
Because when it does, then I become a witness. I become a testimony. And I become a demonstration of what that kingdom really looks like.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
May the Lord indeed fill us afresh and open our hearts and our understanding, especially in the day we find ourselves in, where it is so easy to get emotionally charged. It's so easy to forget who we are.
Right.
So easy to forget what we are really trying to advance.
Mm-hmm.
So may God help us, may God help the church in America and across the world.
Yeah.
And may God have in us, God, raise up men, like John says, I'm here for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, O God. We thank you. We magnify your great name, O God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you today.
Yes.
We thank you for your Son. We thank you that in that hour of great pressure, that hour, O God, that he found himself in, that Lord, he was faithful and true. Lord, help us when we find ourselves in pressurized situations. When we find ourselves, oh Lord, in situations, Lord, that get us charged up emotionally. We ask, oh God, that your Holy Spirit will quicken us during that time.
Yeah.
And he'll bring to our remembrance who we truly are.
Right.
He'll bring to our remembrance that we are first and foremost citizens of a heavenly kingdom.
Right.
So Lord, help us. Help us to be mindful of that. Help us to remember that we are pilgrims, we're strangers, we're people of faith, like our father Abraham, because he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He never settled down. He never camped around any earthly kingdom because he saw that he was a part of a heavenly kingdom. So Lord, we ask that you open our eyes afresh, open our understanding. Make us strangers, pilgrims. Make us sojourners, Lord. Because only in that will we truly represent that kingdom that is from above.
Yeah.
Only in that will our lives openly declare that our home is elsewhere. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for this time. Strengthen this body, Lord. Strengthen your people here in this region, in this part of the earth. May there be, Lord, from these lives, may there be in this location a representation of your glory. We thank you, Lord.